I want to take a couple of minutes. Texas has had some pretty tough weather here the last few years, dealing with the drought. From a conservation standpoint, what's that meant?
Well, actually, we have had pretty detrimental effects. When we talk about drought, one of the things that we have been experiencing here in the state is that as large as the state is, it seems like there's always drought some portion of the state. However, over the last couple of years, by and large, what we have been experiencing is that it has grown basically throughout most of the state. With very few exceptions, every portion of the state of Texas, north to south and east to west, with exception of extreme East Texas along the Louisiana state line, we could consider that Texas is at some sort of stage of drought. What that means for us is that when you are in a prolonged drought, and by prolonged I mean, you know, say 2 years, even if we do end up getting a little bit of rainfall, it is not enough, you know, to bring us out of that drought. So what is happening to us over this 2 year, 24-month, 26-month period of time, what we have been experiencing is that it is really going to take us quite a bit of rainfall to get out of this drought, if you will, because what we're seeing is the effects of 2 years ago. When you have that prolonged drought, even if you have some rainfall, we're not getting the rainfall, you know, to get some deep moisture, mm-hmm. and to be able to, you know, get the vegetation, whether it be permanent vegetation or even, you know, annual crops, you know, to come up and utilize that moisture, just no moisture. So we need some prolonged, long-term rainfall event over in the entire state of Texas to be able to say that we can now be out of a drought. So what does that do for us from a conservation perspective is that it has an impact from the standpoint that it is more difficult for our producers to get conservation practices applied to the land. Specifically, we're looking at conservation practices where we're planting permanent grasses or native grasses or trees. We can't get in there to get those. There's no moisture in the soil. Number one, sometimes we have to disturb the soil. To get a good seed contact with the soil to get that seed to germinate. Sometimes those plows that ground is too hard. Those plows are not penetrating or breaking that soil crust to be able to get that good seed soil contact. And then when we have had opportunities, where we have had practices applied, and we do have some sort of rainfall event because there is a lot of bare ground or very little surface cover, we have a tendency now to have more runoff. So if we have grass plantings per se, well then sometimes we see a lot of that, you know, run off and washed off the area where it was planted. That's one thing. So the other thing is that where we have those few instances where we do have conservation practices that have been established, then we follow with the drought where we have less than average rainfall again, where we have failures of those conservation practices. So the ranchers, the landowners, the farmers, what we experience is having to spend additional time, additional financial assistance, additional technical assistance to go ahead and redo and get those conservation practices reapplied to the land because of failures.
So some of the practices that have been established for a few years, have they helped in any way?
The conservation practices that have been established for years certainly have been helping a lot. Earlier today, we had some discussions and yesterday about, say, the Dust Bowl. And they showed some pictures about some of the dust storms that we had up in the Texas Panhandle many years ago. And then we've also, you saw this morning, perhaps if you were in the general session, where they showed some here in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, just this past year, year and a half. So we do have some areas where we still have, some soil erosion taking place because of high winds, because of lack of cover. However, those storms are nothing compared to what they were, back in the 50s or 30s or, way back when. The conservation practices that we have in place, have certainly reduced that amount of soil erosion taking place. Even though we still see some, it's nowhere near what it has been in the past. So yes, in the areas where we have the high opportunity for soil erosion due to wind, we have a lot of conservation tillage that we have applied to the land. And in those particular instances where we've had that, where we've had windbreaks established, where we have other conservation practices that have established over a span of time, and they're holding on. So in those instances, we have minimal soil disturbance. However, in areas where we still don't see some conservation practices applied, that's where we're having the effect, and that's where the opportunities lie for us in conservation districts and other conservation agencies to have an impact, to go and work and talk to those producers to apply conservation practices to the land to ultimately help reduce and try to eliminate those dust storms. In the areas we've also been unfortunate to where in a lot of these areas where we have drought, we've experienced some wildfires. So we've experienced wildfire, we've experienced drought, and as a result, we're not seeing the regrowth of that native vegetation. So now we have more bare ground. So we've had a combination of drought and wildfires, and that it just exacerbates the potential for erosion, not only for from wind, but also from rainfall events.
So what do you tell a producer when he comes into the local office and has a practice that he would like to get started? What's the recommendation at this point?
Well, by and large, the producers understand and that it is very difficult to get a conservation practice established. And so we're fortunately the conservation programs that we have in place have a lot of flexibility in them, and so we work with those producers and we talk to them and so by and large, now mind you, it just depends on the conservation practice, but by and large, most conservation practices will be able to extend. And what we do is we look and at the practice, we look at the entire operation that the farmer or rancher has in place, and we recommend to the landowner that the best thing at this point in time would be to extend that practice or reschedule that conservation practice to the following year.
So once this drought breaks in Texas, what's the workload going to be like for you folks to get all of these that maybe are on hold in place?
Well, certainly that is going to be a very large workload. We have a lot of conservation practices that are just getting placed back, and so there is going to be an issue there. Number one is a workload from a standpoint of helping these producers to out on the land to get those conservation practices put on the land. But the other thing that's going to happen is potentially if we're talking about native grass plantings. We may have a shortage of grass seed to plant, so we may not have the seed out there. We may not have the seed source. That's one thing. The other thing is that if we get these landowners that are wanting to apply those conservation practices out there, we may not have the contractors in place to be able to go out and get all of these conservation practices applied in any one year. So it is going to be a challenge for us. To be able to get a lot of the conservation practices that have been placed on hold, to get them on the land. But I think that we'll certainly be making a big headway towards that. The biggest concern that I have is mainly for the grass plantings, the native grass plantings that we have on schedule, because of the fact that I don't see us having that seed source to address all of the conservation practices that we have planned.
I want to change subjects for just a moment. Texas has hosted this 67th annual meeting of the National Association of Conservation Districts. What's it been like having all of these conservation leaders in your state?
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure, quite frankly. I have a lot of friends across the country in the conservation business, and it's not often that we get around and see them all. And it's a lot of fun to get them home, from my perspective, to here to Texas and to showcase a little bit of what we have here in Texas. And fortunately for us, this time frame, when the meeting was held here in San Antonio, the weather has been fabulous. I think the temperature has been hovering around 78 to 80 degrees. There has been no rainfall, but at least a little cloudy. But it's been really, really nice. I really appreciate the people coming here and wanting to see a little bit about our culture here in the state. Myself, I'm from deep South Texas, along the Texas-Mexico border, down in the lower Rio Grande Valley, where we call it. So I'm still about 350 miles from home. It's a very different, perhaps, than what most people from across the country perhaps have a perception of Texas being. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity for people to really come here to this South Central portion of the state of Texas and experience not only the culture, but the countryside and the conservation practices, you know, that we have, we apply here in this part of the state.
Sal, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to stop by to visit with us and share with us some of the challenges and opportunities that you have here in the great state of Texas.
Well, certainly appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and I'm hoping that the people that came by to visit here this week will take some pleasurable experiences back home.